Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. We finish up this week's show with a special Enlighten Me segment. Last fall, the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication held its second annual audio essay contest, Voices Matter. It was held in conjunction with the CPC's National Agenda Series, Midterm Matters, which included the 2018 Delaware debates Delaware Public Media helped produce last October. The contest offered UD students campus-wide the opportunity to join the conversation by submitting audio essays about the First Amendment, considering the questions, do you feel free to express your opinion? Have you been affected by hate speech? Have you ever experienced or witnessed censorship? What does the First Amendment mean to you? How have you made your voice matter? Dozens of students participated by producing a wide range of personal and emotional audio essays. Earlier this week, 10 finalists were honored at UD, and the first, second, and third place award winners were announced. Delaware Public Media was proud to partner on this contest and help judge the entries. And in this week's Enlighten Me, we're proud to give you a chance to hear the top three essays, starting with the third place award winner, The Word, from Jaimeer Stillis Stanford, a junior majoring in mass communication and psychology. He remembers a high school experience when he used his voice to combat ignorance among his non-black peers. A note here, the word the title of this piece references is the N-word, and Jaimeer uses it throughout the essay. Delaware Public Media has altered the original audio to bleep it out.
When I was in grade school, I remember chilling with my friends, having rap battles at lunch, with my hair slicked back in little Bow Wow cornrows. Coming from that, to becoming a chocolate chip surrounded by a sea of whipped cream in high school, let's just say the culture shock was overwhelming. I went from being able to relate with my bros on a deeper level to having superficial conversations about class, work, and teachers. I didn't realize the ignorance that some of my peers possessed when it came to situations regarding race. In my classes, I had to make my voice matter. As the only black person in many of my classes, I found myself becoming the spokesman for all black people. 2016. It was my final year of high school and my classmates and I were almost at the finish line. I was so ready to get out of there and begin my life in college. After the last chemistry exam of the marking period, my teacher threw an end-of-the-year party for all of us. We had chips, drinks, and cupcakes. All we needed now was the music, and we decided that Broccoli by Dram was the way to go. I'm hitting the Dougie and Nene with my friends and laughing while rapping the lyrics, "Hey, little mama, would you like to be my sunshine?" But what I did not realize was that my non-black counterparts thought it would be all right to say nigga. Yes, nigga. At this moment, I knew I had to say something. I had to make my voice matter, not only for myself, but for my community. I walked up to the front of the class and proceeded to turn off the music. I was known for having a bold personality and telling someone off when I needed to. But I simply told them that using that word was harmful and that they should never say it again. My classmates looked at me in utter confusion and asked me why. Why? It was at this moment when I discovered that they genuinely did not understand. I was perplexed as to why they did not know, but regardless, I stopped and tried to put myself in their shoes. People who have grown up around the same people all their lives just don't know any better. They were oblivious. I explained why using this is disrespectful due to the historical context the word carries. Did your ancestors have to pick cotton to farm against their will? Nope. Were your ancestors beaten and whipped when they were defiant? Nope. Were your ancestors lynched, raped, and taken away from their families? No. Nigga, a phrase once used as a tool of oppression towards African Americans, has now turned into a liberated, highly contextual term for African Americans only. We have reclaimed nigga, using it as a word of endearment, while the non-black students in my class said it just because it was a song lyric. As I explained this, my classmates began to understand that they should not use the word. Instead of being aggressive and offended, I took the time to educate my peers and share a little piece of my life with them. My voice mattered. This moment sparked continued conversation throughout the rest of the week. I created a space where individuals felt free to talk about it and share their beliefs. If the conversations aren't started, then people will remain clueless and ignorant.
That was UD junior Jaimeer Stillis Stanford and his audio essay, The Word. Again, Delaware Public Media altered the original audio to bleep out the use of the N-word. The unaltered version of this essay is available online at delawarepublic.org and cpc.udel.edu. Next up is the second place award winner, Shut Up and Listen, from Eric Hastings, who is working on his master's in public administration. He examines the lessons learned when people shut up and listen, why it's important to do so, and why it is dangerous not to listen.
When I was a kid, I'd often turn my family's living room into a courtroom, whereby I'd put my parents on trial for what I believed to be disproportionate punishments. One case got so heated that I told my mother to just shut up and listen. Sorry, Mom. Sometimes I'd get the, I'm the parent, that's final verdict, but she afforded me the opportunity for rebuttal. I was allotted a space to develop my voice without feeling judged or censored. This built confidence and translated into future experiences. I became a co-host of a radio show, a contributor to news outlets, a sports writer, and a public speaker. I've enjoyed free speech in settings that honored what I had to say. Eventually, I learned that's not the case for everyone. I returned to my hometown and took a job as a director of a program that serves at-risk teenagers, many of whom were minorities. I was excited, another place I could use my voice. When I started, I lectured them too much. It's what I was used to, talking. Luckily, I had a transformative moment when a young man challenged me to just shut up and listen. Right then, I saw a piece of myself, and I took the place of my mom in my living room. I listened, and the teens started to open up. It was slow at first. Some of them didn't make eye contact. They would mumble under their breath. I asked myself, what's the problem? Then it dawned on me. This was new to so many of them, for I had spoken freely in the world that felt like a living room to me, inclusive and comfortable. I never had to vent my words. Society just accepted them. I heard just about anything you can imagine from my teens. One told me about his broken relationship with his single mom, another about her struggles with being gay. But the most heartbreaking issue, some believed their voice did not or would not matter. I challenged them to speak up. After one of our more intense discussions, a young man pulled me aside and asked, "Why should I care if nobody's going to listen anyway?" That struck a nerve. He had given up already. Listening to him further, I learned why. A minority in this country needs to scream to be heard, whereas a white guy like me only ever needed to whisper. I have been offered a microphone at every turn in my life. It's time for me and others to hand it over. I've seen it too often, a white person grabbing the mic when there's a chance to let someone of color take center stage. If you'd got to know some of my teens, you'd be blown away. One of them was so creative that I have a tattoo on my leg he sketched for me to show how seriously I take his artistry. Another who called himself an average guy when we first met doesn't make excuses about coming from a single-parent home. He's at UD now, with me, and excelling. A girl struggling with her confidence became our program's leader and gave a speech at a major event. Big crowd, she brought them to tears. I hope my daughter's like her one day. If I had never shut up and listened, I would have missed out on learning from them. And that's what some of you are missing out on. What I see from some of my white peers is the polar opposite. They don't want to learn or to grow or to understand. They want to judge or to be right. They just want to win. In the past few months, I've logged on to social media pages to see a person of color sharing a Black Lives Matter post and a white person interjecting with, "Don't all lives matter?" I've seen white people distort the message behind the NFL protest, diverting attention on its true purpose related to police killings of unarmed black men. More, praising Trump's proposed border wall, knowing well Hispanic Facebook friends would see it. We are building walls every day with choices like that, instead of building living rooms. Why do you think it was so difficult for my teens to open up at first, especially to a white guy? Because they were used to being met with open mouths and closed ears. We've done more than our fair share of talking. Let's just shut up and listen.
That was Eric Hastings, a master's student at UD, with his audio essay, Shut Up and Listen. And finally, the first place winner, The Line, from UD sophomore Mia Carbone, who recalls a classroom discussion about the contentious Kavanaugh hearings and the trepidation of one young man, and considers how ultimately voices can indeed be drowned out.
Being a student studying politics and journalism has been nothing short of thrilling this year. Each day there is a new debacle to dissect or tweet to try, and it has resulted in fierce class discussions. One of the most notable events of this year and this administration so far was the road to the successful appointment of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. It was the week after the infamous hearing in my public policy class. Each class begins with a recap of current events, and I can't say that I've ever seen people so eager to get to a story. It unleashed an energy from our class that I had never seen before. Every woman in the class had something to say. Many of us were fired up, ready to defend Dr. Ford and her testimony to the earth's end. Each woman admitted that they knew there was no doubt Kavanaugh was going to be confirmed. Even after the riveting testimony by Dr. Ford, multiple allegations, a year of Me Too stories rocking every sector of life from brave survivors, he would still be a judge in the highest court in the land. In the midst of what began to sound like a broken record, a boy in class raised his hand. He told us that he felt scared. He felt scared and powerless in this modern Me Too era. I couldn't believe it. A heterosexual white man just told everyone he was scared to simply be himself. If you're a person of color, a woman, part of the LGBTQ+ community, or anyone who isn't a white hetero male, you might feel uneasy. I did. I blinked, and once again, every girl in class had her hand proudly raised high above her head. They rebutted with comments about what it's been like to be a woman leading up to this point and still. Even I raised my hand and asked him, "If you haven't done anything wrong, what is there to be scared of?" The discussion in this boy's comment specifically stuck with me, and so I later did some Googling and asking around to see if he was alone in his feelings. Turns out, he wasn't. It seems as though plenty of guys feel this way these days, but none of them feel like they can say so. Women's voices are louder than ever, with a strong and profound message. And for us women, this is amazing. We are showing our strength and refusal to continue our streak of silence after centuries of putting things on the back burner. But mixed up somewhere in our chance for equality, people became scared to share their side, to tell their story. I couldn't help but wonder if I was one of the people affecting if others felt safe voicing their opinions, even if they weren't opinions some of us necessarily wanted to hear. But this poses an important question. Where is the line between things we don't want to hear and things that shouldn't be said? This idea that people can't play devil's advocate or express their unfavored opinions has become something that our society is playing toward more and more. It's something I found myself guilty of practicing more than I care to admit. I find myself wondering if people feel like they can't say what's on their mind to me, or if I am part of the problem at hand. As admittedly silly as I thought this man's comment was, it made me think. The modern women's movement isn't the only topic where people feel silenced. In nearly every debate, political or not, those with the opinion of the minority may often be scared to speak up. But these ideas that are being withheld are ideas that need to be heard. They are what the First Amendment seeks to protect. Our right to freedom of speech means that every being in this country has the right to voice their thoughts, even if it's not something we want to hear.
That was UD sophomore Mia Carbone and her winning Voices Matter audio essay, The Line. These essays have been technically reproduced for broadcast by Delaware Public Media. Congratulations to the award winners, and thank you to them and all who participated in the Voices Matter contest for enlightening us. You can find a link to all 10 contest finalists at our website, DelawarePublic.org. And that's it for this week's edition of The Green. The stories and interviews you've heard are online right now at DelawarePublic.org. Just head to The Green's page on our website. And remember, you can check out The Green via podcast at our website, on iTunes, and on the NPR One app. We'd also like to hear from you. Give us your feedback and story ideas on our Facebook page, on Twitter at TheGreenDE, or by emailing us at TheGreen@DelawarePublic.org. Thanks to all those who helped make today's show possible, winners of the UD Voices Matter audio essay contest, Mia Carbone, Eric Hastings, and Jaimeer Stillis Stanford, Delaware Public Media's Sophia Schmidt and Kelly Steele. For all of them and the rest of the staff here at Delaware Public Media, I'm Tom Burns saying thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week on The Green, where Delaware explores its common ground.